George Hamilton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Thanks a million, George. We had a technical problem. My apologies.
No problem.
So, nothing to do with us anyway. Something somewhere in the ether went a bit wrong. But listen, you're just back from the World Cup. Was it, as some people are claiming, the best World Cup ever?
I think it was as good as any I have been at, and that was my 10th one. I think in terms of the football, there was excitement aplenty, there were surprises aplenty. The champion Spain got knocked out virtually in their first match. Lots and lots of goals, 171 in all, which equaled the best that ever been, which was France 1998. And surprising teams like Costa Rica and Colombia and the USA as well, and Algeria, you know, and Germany, who eventually won it, pushed to the pin of their collar by Ghana and by Algeria too, you know. Really lots and lots of excitement. I think the football was supreme.
And of course Brazil were brutal.
Oh, I've no idea.
But it's true.
I don't think I've ever been at a football match that was quite as astonishing as that. And that period between 20 and 30 minutes when Germany went to 5-0 up, it was just astonishing to see a team crumble like that. I mean, we knew Brazil weren't brilliant by any means, but they seemed to be riding this crest of emotion. The home fans were behind them all the way. There was none of this kind of anti-Brazil feeling at all until the team imploded. The country was behind them. They were excited. There was bunting everywhere, flags and all the rest of it. And then for that to happen in the way that it did, and for them then to lose in the third, fourth place playoff as well, it just ended for the home country on a terrible low. And that was discernible in the streets of Rio in the run-up to the final, because what had been carnival time suddenly wasn't anymore. And it seemed that it had become part of Argentina, because the Brazilians had disappeared. It was all Argentina fans.
They took over the Copacabana Beach anyway, didn't they? Something like 70,000 Argentinian fans travelled to Rio.
Yeah, but 35 hours, I believe it takes, in the car. They came in their cars and they slept and lived in their cars. You'd see them coming out of the supermarkets all laden up the way you would see at a caravan park almost. But there they were, parked along the beach, parked in the very street where they have the carnival, the special street with these grandstands there. They gave them permission to park their vehicles there, and that was full as well of Argentinians who were there for the match. It was quite astonishing to see.
What did you think of England going out so early?
I wasn't at all surprised, because England seemed to have this kind of ability to shoot themselves at the foot at big tournaments. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that the insularity of the English, you know, they always believe that their football is the best. They gave the game to the world. The Premier League, they keep telling us, is the best league in the world. Maybe it is for excitement, but I think in terms of technical quality, you've got to look elsewhere, maybe to the Spanish League, maybe even to the Bundesliga in Germany. Bayern Munich at the end of that World Cup final, when they'd won, when Germany had won, Bayern Munich provided seven of the 11 players who were on the pitch were Bayern Munich players. And I think that says a lot about how you get to get a winning team. It's got to have a club mentality, and that certainly is what Germany had.
Yeah, I've often thought that, you know, when you take the Republic of Ireland soccer team, and they come, they're a very disparate group really, and they come from here, there and everywhere. They're coming together once every now and again to play a game. It's very hard to get that coherent team mentality together.
Yeah, it is, but if you've got the right manager, and this was Jack Charlton and how he turned it around, he moulded them into a unit and made them play for the shirt. And I think it's not very difficult to get an Irish athlete to play for the shirt, because they're aware that they come from a small country and they're proud of the green, and they want to wear it with pride, and they want to do well for the fans who come and watch them. I don't think it's as big a problem for the Irish. I think if the right man is in charge of the team, then the rest follows. And think of, you know, back to 1990 and the quarterfinal against Italy, and, you know, one step away from the semi-final, it could have so much have been one goal from Scilacci, that much away from being in the semi-final of the World Cup. And we saw again that kind of emotion. Costa Rica had it as well, to take one example. Colombia too. You know, those countries just went absolutely bananas for the fact that their team was doing so well.
Passion.
Just like we were as well at the time.
Yeah, but it's sometimes not always the case that you get somebody who wants to play for the team and wear the jersey, and you have managers traipsing around the world to trying to get them to wear the jersey, which I've never understood.
Well,
they don't want to play. Don't get somebody from the League of Ireland who would give their right arm to be on the pitch. Would be my attitude.
I think there's an issue. There's an issue with this here, and it's to do with the fact that footballers now earn so much money, and they're very, very aware that the £100 a week or the €100 a week contract, it's the club that's paying that, and they maybe go off for two international matches and come back crocked and lose their place and fall out of favour with the manager because they've gone and played when maybe they shouldn't have played. So there's all this going on in players' minds as well, and you can't overlook that. It's not quite the same dynamic anymore that it playing for your country was the pinnacle. But I think the Germans have shown that you can get that back. I mean, they were very proud. Think of the situation in Germany. You know, when they last won the World Cup in 1990, they played as West Germany. The wall had only fallen the last November, so it was West Germany. The first time they were able to fly their flags with pride as United Germany was 2006 at the World Cup that they hosted, and this now is their first triumph as a United Germany.
Yeah, and Angela Merkel is from East Germany, isn't
she? Indeed, that's right. And Toni Kroos, the player, he came from East Germany too. The only one in the squad, by the way. But that's not to say that they're not all united and not all together. And I just think the whole business of having created the fans Grand Mile in Berlin by the Brandenburg Gate.
That's fantastic.
And all the historic history, the history that's there, the historic troubles that there have been around the Brandenburg Gate, that it's now a place of joy, a place to bring the Germans back together again, and to see that party that they had on Tuesday when the German team arrived home was just fabulous.
But they did that for the European Championships as well, George. I mean, they do it. It's right through the Tiergarten. I was there, and hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh yeah, yeah. But the point, I absolutely accept that, Derek. But the point I was making was they'd never had the thing, the yoke, the cup. They'd never had that to show off, and this is what took it on to another level. And
well,
I think
said.
That this was actually Germany. You know, it's a long time. Nothing happens overnight. This was almost like a final validation of the reunification of Germany.
Well, listen, I'm sorry we didn't have more time, but as I said, technical issues got in the way. George, thank you very much. Thanks for giving up your day. And I'm sorry
you're
the way
right.
it went.
Don't worry.
And maybe when you're back down in Dublin, you'll pop in and see us. George Hamilton, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Derek.
Brilliant as always. And George's commentary, superb. Second to absolutely
second
none.
Because I flicked all the channels
and you
so
go back to George. And I mean that sincerely. He's gone now.
He's absolutely
can't hear me,
brilliant.
But I mean
the whole coverage, Ortiz's coverage was excellent.
It was excellent this year. It really was. And Eamon Dunphy was in with us during the competition. It was great sport.
I heard.
It was great.